Warning, listening to this show may result in increased levels of inspiration, motivation, and innovation. Side effects can include the immediate urge to take massive action to build a better business and life for yourself and others. You've been warned. Welcome to Influencers Radio with your host, Jack Mize.
And welcome to this episode of Influencers Radio today. It's always fascinating to me to talk to industry leaders, folks that are, you know, looked at by the professionals and the experts in different industries as the person that helps them. If you almost think about that mentor, the all the great doctors, psychiatrists that have that mentor that they go to when they run into problems or issues, because you really get to see behind the scenes of industries that, you know, we just have this image of the way they work. And today we're talking about financial planning, financial management. Anyone that has talked to, you know, you see everywhere, every strip center, seems like everywhere there's a karate school, a dance school, and a financial planner in the suburbs of the U.S. And it's so hard for your average person to, you know, find a distinction, because they almost are a me too business, and find out, you know, is this somebody that can really help me plan my financial future, or is it someone that's going to, you know, sell me whatever stocks or mutual funds that their company provides? And it really is a difficult decision. And people are always looking for that reason. They're looking for that tipping point on who they should choose. And when I talk to a lot of people that help business owners, that's what they focus on. They focus on getting the masses to choose them for their provider. And I've even talked to financial people that help financial advisors, and their main focus is to cast that wide net to get as many people into their funnel as prospective customers or clients as they can. But what really intrigued me about my guest today is that, you know, he is definitely one of the go-to guys when it comes to helping financial managers, financial planners, but he takes a little bit of a different approach. Rather than getting everyone to choose you, he works with his clients to say, hey, you need to be a little picky yourself about who you're trying to attract, because that can have as big an impact on your business as getting the masses to choose you. And so today, my guest is Scott Keffer. If you're in the financial planning industry, financial manager, you help people, you know, manage, build their wealth, build their financial portfolio, plan for their financial future, then you probably know who Scott Keffer is. But today we're going to go into a little bit deeper on his methodology of building not just a practice, but building the right kind of practice that you're not killing yourself and giving up your own time and your own life while you're helping others to build and enjoy their own. Scott, welcome to Influencers Radio.
Thanks, Jack. It's great to be on with you today, and excited to share with your listeners.
Well, it really is, and you know what we talked about, and it really goes against what a lot of people do in just about any industry. You know, when they talk about their marketing, they talk about casting the widest net possible. How can I get as many eyeballs and as many people to talk to? And you know, the more people that I get to set appointments to talk to, the bigger and better my business is going to grow. And you pretty quickly opened my eyes to that is probably one of the quickest ways to hit burnout in this industry than anything else. And what was really remarkable is that you seem to have a crystal ball. You know what most of these financial planners and financial managers are going through. You know where they are sitting at in their life. And so you hit the ground running when you start working with these folks. look at that crystal ball and kind of tell me who that person is.
Well, they are any business owner particularly, but the financial advisor, money manager, estate planner, has been in the business a couple of decades plus, midlife. They're sitting at their desk way too long. They're working too many hours, and they're not being paid much more than they were a number of years ago. They continue to dream about the day and the time, the year. I would call it the year when everything's going to be different, right? It's going to change in terms of the time I'm going to have available to be there for my family and my friends, the money that I should be paid because of my wisdom, my knowledge, my experience, my training, the time when I'll finally work with the right kind of clients. I'll be recognized, not like every Tom, Dick, and Harry advisor, but I'll be recognized for who I am and the kind of value I bring. And they're at their desk and they're frustrated. They've invested money before. They've bought the marketing gizmos and the marketing tricks. They continue to go to the industry events and they hear people say, this is what you should do. And they go home and try it and it doesn't work. And so they're a little skeptical. Like you said, they're a little burned out, I think, in the sense of giving up on their dream. They help people discover and live out a dream lifestyle. And they wonder if they're ever going to be able to have it themselves, whether they'll have the kind of money as well as the time. And they're burning their time away with family. And they know, you know, with family, you have limited time to do that, their family and friends. And so it's not their fault. One thing I want them to know, Jack, it's not their fault. They continue to be taught these myths and these lies by the industry, and they're really death traps. Like you said, they're pushing them right into the commodity corner, and many of them feel stuck. They're just stuck.
You know, what I find that was just such sort of the remarkable irony to me is they are almost a representation of the people that they're helping. They are almost, you know, we talked about how it's the you know, the plumber with the broken pipes, the mechanic with the car that won't start because they're so busy helping their clients and building clients and going after anyone that will, you know, talk to them, prospects, that it causes them to completely, you know, neglect, ignore their own, you know, what they're really after, which is that lifestyle with to have a business that they can, you know, enjoy, but also spend time on the things that are important with family and causes and things like that, that they have. You know, is this something that they look up in the middle of their career and think, oh my, the clock is ticking. This is not where I was wanting to be. This is not where I want to be. This is not where I need to be.
Well, I think when you're young in any business, any industry, Jack, hope reigns eternal. But as the time clicks along, you start to say, when will I begin to experience that? And if you take, I mean, they don't understand that it's not just getting into business. And they were taught that if you get into business and you do good work, you'll get paid what you should be paid, and your prospects will find you. Well, that's a huge myth, because that doesn't indeed happen. And in fact, if you look at just business owners in general, if you took 1,000 of them who started a business and you put them into a room and you said, if your business failed or you decided to go out of business, you should leave the room. At the end of 10 years, there would be about 50 left. And then if you said, I want you to leave the room if you're not grossing, not income, just bringing in at least $1 million of revenue, 45 of those remaining 50 would leave. There'd only be 5 left in the room. And that's the task that the advisor needs to learn. And that is what are the secrets? What are the principles? What are the X factors that allow that the 5 of the original 1,000 not only to survive, but really to thrive by getting up to the $1 million plus level where you can have the kind of income, take off the kind of time, and, you know, really be about what you're put on the planet for, which is to have an impact on your family, your friends, your clients, of course, but the causes that you care about deeply.
Well, I think you really hit the nail on the head when, you know, what you're describing is people that are very knowledgeable in their trade. They're very knowledgeable in the service that they provide, but what they have not spent time or understanding is the side of building their own business. So they may be very good at what they do for clients, but they may not be very good at understanding how to build their business. And I know we talked about when they first started, you know, when you're going after getting new clients, attracting new clients, casting that wide net, that, you know, you're willing to talk to anyone. You're not, you know, discriminating necessarily to who you're going to try to get in front of to talk to. And I can say, I mean, I've walked into a Walmart the other day and there's people sitting in there doing people's taxes and you know, every possible skill and trade from buying and selling real estate to financial planning. And clearly that's something that they need to discriminate if they're in that part of their career. And one of the things you focus on and that you say is the right kind of client. All right. So let's jump right into that. At first is to start ignoring the wrong kinds of clients and focusing on the right kind of clients. Can you kind of describe that? Because that seems to be the starting point, one of the big shifts that folks that follow you make that make a real big impact on what they're doing.
Sure. Well, we show them how to solve those two biggest problems, which have nothing to do with whether they're good planners or good money managers or good estate planners, which is one, how do I create a predictable and profitable steady stream of the right kind of clients, right? How do I get them contacting me, and how am I positioned in advance so that they're not only qualified, but they're interested in what I can do? And then secondly, how do I build a lifestyle-friendly business so I can actually enjoy that with the money and time that I need to have that kind of lifestyle? And there are giant myths that I want to tell advisors, it's not your fault. You're stuck at your desk feeling frustrated and a bit skeptical. No, a lot skeptical, I think, Jack, because you've tried stuff before. You know, you've been told you can build your business on referrals. And one of the big things you need to know is, first of all, you can't build your business on referrals. And whenever I say that, it usually causes the hair on people's neck to stand up. And what I mean is, not that referrals aren't an excellent way, probably the best way, of course, to meet a right fit client. But the problem is, you could, if we were going to double or triple your income, you can't double or triple referrals because they're not leverageable. You can't predictably grow them. They should be a part, but not the number one, two, or three driver for your business. You want predictable systems that deliver prospects to you. The second is exactly what you're talking about. I would say that when I started in the business, you know, they give you a handheld mirror, and the prospect qualification was the prospect could steam the mirror. They're a qualified prospect, and it creates this sense that I should work for everybody, right? I should be open to work with anybody and everybody. And as you know, Jack, if you're everything to everybody, you're nothing to nobody. You become a commodity. You become like rock salt, and the only way people choose between rock salt is price. And so there's all of the traditional marketing and positioning strategies that are taught by the industry, taught at every industry meeting they go to, it's the same old stuff. And if you're doing what every other financial advisor is doing, guess what? You look like every other financial advisor. And so the frustration comes out of what they're hearing is really not what they need to position themselves and to create the kind of marketing that not only attracts the right kind of prospects, but filters out, you know, repels the wrong kind.
And that goes against a lot of conventional wisdom. You kind of, when you're talking about the referrals, and I know so many people spend so much time on the referrals, almost to the point of aggravating their current clients in trying to get those referrals, because they are taught that, hey, referrals, that's the easiest way for you to have instant, you know, credibility and a foot in the door is by the people that you already work with. But, you know, what you said makes sense in the fact that that's something that's not really scalable or predictable, that you can work a system to ensure that happens. And usually people
imagine knowing for certain that every month you're going to have prospects contacting you. And these are prospects who are pre-qualified and pre-interested. Right. The game changes because now you're in a position of what you want to create when a prospect comes in, because the prospect's coming in and they're interviewing you. But if you're in need of that prospect, it's very, very bad positioning. So what you want to do is communicate to them that I'm interviewing you in the same way that you're interviewing me, creating that country club sense of value, right? In the country club, you fill out an application, you have to qualify to give them money. Well, you should have that same country club positioning in your business, so that prospects have to qualify, and they really should. All you have to do, tell an advisor, just stop and think. I just want your mind to run through the kind of clients that when they call, you jump out of your seat to get on the phone with them. If you see their name on your calendar, you think, oh, I can't wait to get with them. Why? You're energized. They like you. You like them. They value what you share with them. They're interested in you and your life. They share you with other people. They listen to what you're saying. They're good decision makers. You go down through all those qualifications. That's your right fit client. And the question is, why are we working with non-right fit? Because you can think of, you go through your client list, it's the people that call and you think, I don't think I can talk to them again, right? They're annoying, they're frustrating, they don't value what I do, they're price shoppers, they see me as a commodity, every decision's a hassle, they think over and over and over again. So the question is, why are you doing business with those people? Why not build a business of just right fit clients where you can be energized, they can be energized, and you both love doing what you do?
Yeah, well, that's one thing that I hadn't thought about that you described is some of the folks that you are working with. It's not a matter of, you know, more and more clients. They've hit a capacity sometimes of the wrong client. And it's not a matter of I just have to scrub harder. They just don't have. They're already working 60 hours a week. And you quickly determine that they're working 60 hours a week on the wrong clients, that if they did it right and positioned themselves correctly and did the right things, they could replace, you know, three bad clients with one good client, or even a bigger ratio than that. You know, what do people, you know, what goes to their mind when they come to that realization that, you know, I can actually fire some of these wrong clients and replace a handful of them with one right client?
Well, it's an aha day that you mean I can actually be in a business that's fun and energizing and exciting to come to, and in fact where less is more, where I can work with less people and actually earn more. See, it's time. Advisors are in what is commonly called a practice. Well, I'm not sure why you want to be in a practice. Why don't you move into, I like to show them how to create a business, and I think your business should be accountable. Your business, you invest money, time, and energy in your business, and you should hold your business accountable. It should return to you multiples. Just like your client wants a return for their money, you should be getting a return from your business of three things: more money, more time, and more energy. If your business isn't doing that, imagine a business that's actually giving you a return on the money you've invested, the time you've invested, and the energy. Because without those three, you can't live the impact you've been put on the planet to live, right? You need all three to have that kind of impact. And I don't believe they're put on the planet to be in business. Their business is a platform, right, that will allow them to carry out the impact they've been put on the planet for. So let's just get your business, move it. You know, there are proven principles and systems that will allow their business to operate more automatically so that it's working even when they're not there. And that's the power of a business, right? Where you're home and it's still your prospecting and your marketing and your positioning are all working automatically.
Yeah, well, I think that's one of the, you know, from talking to you, one of the big transitions that a lot of your clients and the people that work with your system make is, you know, initially they think that you know, this sounds great, but it's beyond my reach. I'm already too busy. I'm already working too much. I can't add more to it. I just don't have the capacity to do this. I've tried marketing. I've you know, done what I've been told to do, and I just don't have time to do it again. And I don't have the ability to add more of this to what I'm doing. And it sounds, you know, like what you're able to do is come right in and say, no, we're not going to add to your time. We're not going to add to your frustration. We're going to remove some of that stuff immediately by shifting what their priorities are and working with the right people. So I want to make sure that folks understand that it's not about doing more. It's about immediately doing less. You know, how quickly do you see folks being able to do less without diminishing their revenue or diminishing their turns and actually start to see that inverse effect of working less and generating, you know, maintaining their revenue and then even increasing it?
Well, we have advisors who anywhere from $200,000 to $6 million, in all those ranges, Jack. And I'll say, if you're at 200 or 500, wherever you are, and imagine earning 10 times that, because there are advisors who are earning 10 times what you're earning. They're not working 10 times harder than you. And in fact, if you're, you know, the typical advisor who's in, you know, earning a couple $100,000, there's no way they could work twice as hard. They couldn't work twice as long. They're already overworked. So it can't be working harder. And once they get that, then there's a relief, I think, that comes over them, because they're genuine, they're committed, they're dedicated. They've listened to what they've been told by the industry, you know, work hard, work harder, and become really good at what you do, right? And if you become really good at what you do, people will find you, and they don't. And so they work even harder. Right. What my dad used to tell me, you know, put your nose to the grindstone. And I always thought that was an interesting phrase, because the only thing I'd end up with is, a face without a nose, or maybe a bloody face. But today, you know, the key in a business is not working harder. It's actually oftentimes working less hard, because you've created the systems and the processes that allow you to be away. You know, the very best business, you know, think about it. You know, if you think about Richard Branson, Richard Branson has 400 companies. He doesn't work 400 times harder than we do, right? He's got systems, processes in place that allow him to be on, you know, Necker Island, wherever he goes and relaxes. Well, it's the same here. We just show him how to take those principles and put them to work for them so they can start to enjoy your business.
Well, you know, I think that's I'm thrilled to have you on the show, because that's what I feel makes you a real influencer. Because, you know, here's these folks that are out there influencing the lives of others, influencing the lives of their clients, and, you know, neglecting and having their own lives suffer. And you're able to help them turn that around and, you know, have the business and the life that they wanted, that they set out to when they first got into the industry. And you're making an incredible impact on that front with these folks. So that's why I feel that truly makes you an influencer. Scott, let me ask you, how can folks find out more about, you know, what you're doing, find out more about how they can kind of get off this hamster wheel, if you will, and turn their business around into something that they enjoy and allows them to enjoy the other parts of their lives that they may have been missing for so long?
Well, we've got, boot camps and trainings and a lot of done-for-you systems to help advisors. But maybe the next step, I want to maybe offer a couple of tools that would be helpful for them. One would be, we've got a special report on how to position yourself as an authority and actually get qualified prospects to contact you. It's about the three critical marketing criteria that will help them repel the wrong kind and attract the right kind. So I'd like to make that available to your listeners. It's a special report that we have. There's a scorecard that comes with that. There's an affluent marketing scorecard, so they can actually go through and sort of score their own marketing efforts and kind of see where they are. The other thing I'd like to offer, Jack, is I always ask them if you came face to face with a prospect sitting at a restaurant or, you know, wherever you might be, and you were to sketch out on a napkin a way to describe what you do in 5 or 6 minutes in a compelling way where that person would say, I want to talk to you more, right? That would be terrific, wouldn't it? So I've got actually a CD where I'll share that. So if they email me at scott@scottkeffer, that's scottkeffer.com, scott@scottkeffer.com, just put in there special report and free CD, and be sure to include their address if they want the physical CD, and I'll be happy to send the special report, the scorecard, and the CD.
Fantastic. I certainly appreciate you doing that, because I know this really does make a big impact on folks' lives. So, I would encourage you to do that. If it sounds like something that you're in the position of, if Scott described you, saw you in that crystal ball, then, you know, you really have absolutely nothing to lose to take Scott up on this offer for those resources. Very, very valuable resources. Scott, I want to thank you very much for being on Influencers Radio today.
Jack, it was great to be on, great to share. Trust that your listeners got some great value from it, and I hope they've got an action step they can take as a result of listening today.
All right. Well, fantastic. Thank you very much. Folks, check it out. And, you know, even if you aren't in the financial planning business, these are the same principles that you can use in your business, the same principles, the same obstacles that apply. It's definitely something you need to look deeper into. So until next time, remember, you are the only real game changer.
You've been listening to Influencers Radio. To get all past shows and updates on future shows, visit influencersradio.com today or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/influencersradio.